Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live with Barrett. And today I am very, very excited because I get to have a conversation with someone that I met not too long ago and met online and have since gotten to know as a part of a fairly large group of some wonderful colleagues, and that they are all women who are entrepreneurs. And Wendy's story to me is particularly exciting and intriguing and refreshing and inspiring. And the things that she's doing are some of the things that really need to be done out there. Things that are, as I say, spreading the love, making money, and changing the world. So I want to welcome this morning Wendy McClellan. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Barrett. Thank you so much for asking me to be part of this. I'm excited.
I'm really, really glad. I have been just watching some of the things that you do, and I think it would be really great for people to kind of get a handle on that, to be aware of it, to know what you are doing, what you are putting out here in the world. And I wanted to kind of start with where you have come from, where you are, where you're going, that kind of a thing. And I thought that your personal story was kind of really inspiring. I read the 27 Steps to Freedom.
Okay. Yes.
So I was wondering if you could just briefly share a little bit about that with people, what that involves. I don't want to give it away.
Sure. Sure. Well, I'm going to step back a little further than the book and talk about 20 years ago. I was suddenly became a single mom. My marriage ended, and I had three small children under the age of 10. And I started a little typing business. And in those days, there was no internet. There was no social media, really. And so I forced myself to knock on 10 doors. So I made a sort of a thing of 10 cold calls every morning by 10 a.m. to build my business. And what started to happen was people would say, oh, this is a slow time for us, or we're not sure why the business is slow. And marketing just came naturally to me. So I started offering advice, and it worked. And I got referrals, and the business grew. And it grew into an opportunity to teach at my local university and develop curriculum for them. And then I got my own little talk radio here locally where I live, just outside Vancouver, BC. And that was early days of the internet, 1996 maybe. And they wanted me to have an email.
I remember those dark days.
Oh, yeah, like with the dial-up.
And it was literally dark. The screen was black. And you had little orangey characters.
Exactly. So, and it was just the beginnings of the commercial internet. And so I got onto the internet in the mid-90s. And the weekend that I got on, I literally did not go to bed the whole weekend because I was so mesmerized by what I was seeing. And you have to think back, there was only about 200,000 web pages at the time. 200,000. Like, that's just crazy to me today.
I remember that.
Yes. And I saw companies like General Motors and Kraft Foods and big organizations. And I thought, you know, I can do this. So I got this massive sheet of paper. I drew out what I wanted. I worked with a designer, taught myself some code, worked with a coder, and together, built this website. And within 3 weeks, the New York Times picked it as one of the best sites on the net. And I was just, that really blew up my business. And one of the strategies I teach my clients is whenever you have a win like that, you leverage it. So I sent a nationwide press release here in Canada, And that just exploded things for me. Within a year, I had 12 web designers working for me. I was a nominee for Canadian Entrepreneur of the Year. I was traveling, talking about the internet. And it was just like a crazy time, an amazing time. And then in the fall of 99, my kids got a stomach bug. And they recovered, but I got the bug, but I didn't get better. And I kept getting sicker and sicker. And you know, I was losing 2 or 3 pounds a day. Couldn't keep food down. I had bleeding sores in my throat. I was having fevers of 103. And I kept going to the doctor, and he couldn't tell me what was wrong. And finally, after a number of weeks, I actually had to give up custody of my children to my ex-husband and his new wife and shut my whole business down. And one night I phoned a girlfriend and I said, I can hardly walk. You've got to get me to the hospital. So she came, picked me up, and I went in. And first thing the doctor did was he tried to get a blood pressure reading, and he couldn't get a reading because I'd been hemorrhaging for 6 weeks. And he said, you know, you need blood transfusions. And this is mid-90s, still the AIDS scare and the blood and worrying about that. And I said, well, look, my parents are out of the country. They're the ones I want to talk to before I make this decision. They'll be home tomorrow. Can we wait? He says, no, you will die tonight if we don't do this. So, okay, decision was made. And they stabilized me here in my local hospital and then moved me into a big trauma center. And it turned out there's a massive E. coli sitting on the base of my spine, which explained why it felt like I couldn't walk, because the E. coli bacteria was actually eating away the spine. So it ate away portions of the lower 3 vertebrae, 2 discs, 1 kidney, scarred my corneas and gave me brain damage. So I spent over 2 months in hospital, and then another 4 months in a body cast in plaster from just below my armpits to my knees to fuse the bone fragments back around the spinal cord. And it took about 1.5 to 2 years to learn how to walk again without a cane and to get my memory back. And I had to go back to grade 1 books and crossword puzzles to, you know, re-energize my brain cells.
Right.
And the book is called 27 Steps because when I came out of the hospital, I couldn't take care of myself. I went and lived with my parents, and they had a hospital bed and everything for me. And my goal was to walk from their front door to the end of their driveway in one go. And it took me about 3 weeks to do it. And finally, the day that I did it, I walked back, and for some reason, I counted the steps. Don't know why, but I did. And then it was 27 steps. And then last year, a whole bunch of things sort of came into clarity, I guess, and I was compelled to write the book, and I called it 27 Steps to Freedom. And in there, I outlined 27 lessons that I learned that people can apply to challenges in their own lives, whether it's personal or business. There's things in there like collaboration and building a team and asking for help and having a focus. And the final two for me that are really important is having gratitude and then sharing what you've learned. So that's kind of the story of the book.
I like that, having gratitude. Especially the part about having gratitude. So now that you've made those 27 steps and you are where you are, what do you say inspires you just to get up in the morning to make those steps every day?
Well, I think you have to do something that you love and that you feel compelled to do. And I know a lot of times people start a business on the side when they have a full-time job. And so if you're not happy... And if you're not happy in your day job, then you have to, I think you have to sort of inject bits of your passion into your life during the day. So when you go for your coffee break, just don't go to the coffee room, go for a walk outside and, you know, think about ideas about how you're going to grow your business. At lunchtime, go sit on a park bench and write down some strategies so that throughout your day, if you're not enjoying your day job, you've got infusions of this positive energy around what you want to create. And, you know, find a way to really feel like you are an entrepreneur now, take little steps, start to grow the business. And then when you're running your business, you know, as you know, it's ups and downs all the time. And so when I feel struggles or feel frustrated, I look at the things that I've accomplished and I think, wow, okay, girl, you've got it. You can keep going, you know.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to talk about what you are specifically doing out there, but we'll talk about that in a moment after this little break, okay?
Okay. All sounds right. Good.
We'll be back in a moment with Wendy McClellan.
Mm-hmm.
and welcome back to Live with Barrett. We are talking today with Wendy McClellan of the company, Wendy McClellan. She is an entrepreneur who is doing some incredible things out there. So, Wendy, let me ask you, what is your niche? Who's your target audience? Who are you out there serving?
My target audience is mostly women entrepreneurs who are wanting to, I hate the saying, but it's appropriate, is take their business to the next level. So they've created something and they're just not getting the uptake of clients that they want. So I'm a very good strategist. So I will come in and will, you know, whether they do phone coaching with me or they do a program with me, I will take a look at all their social media platforms and help them integrate them all so that they all work together, so that all their social media is doing a couple of things. One, it really is answering the pain points of their ideal clients and then driving traffic back to their website so that they can collect the person's email address in exchange for something valuable. So as an example, on my page, I've got an opt-in offer that gives people a bundle of 5 how-to guides. So how to write a press release, how to do joint ventures, how to win at trade shows. And those are valuable little strategies that people go, oh, I've got a trade show coming up. How am I going to do it really well? So you want to create something that people want and they'll give you their email address for, because your email address is your gold mine. And when you build that list and you're continually offering valuable information to people, it gives them that opportunity to know, like, and trust you, and then they're going to buy from you. So I help them come up with strategies that are going to make them stand out on social media and integrate all of their social media together. And then a plan of how are we going to get new people interacting with us.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask this. When you are putting it out there, how would you say you're being received? Is your niche audience recognizing the importance of this, or would you say this is something that's challenging?
Well, I think it's probably a bit of both, but I do have an amazing tribe online. I have, people that I feel very connected to via Facebook groups, LinkedIn, through my website, through my webinars. And so I feel it has definitely been well received. I do another way that I reach out to people is I often do videos, and I'm pretty transparent with people. Like, I let them into my life, and everybody has a different comfort level with this, but most people know I have a dog, I'm an animal lover, and I do videos just, you know, sometimes I'm babysitting my grandsons, and so I'll do my nanopreneur video, and it's just like a quick little business tip I record on my phone. But people like to know who the real person is behind the brand. And so once you let people know a little bit about you, they go, oh, this is someone I can relate to. So my tribe knows a lot about me, and I'm quite comfortable with that, because now they trust me and they don't, you know, they feel comfortable saying, oh yeah, I'll buy your course or I'll take your free webinar, because they've gotten to know me on a personal level. And I think that's one of the big things about social media. I see a lot of brands that, you never see a face behind the name of the company. And people don't, in this day and age, people don't like doing business with a faceless person or a faceless brand. They want to know who you are before they'll trust you with their money.
Would you say that's the most important thing that people need to know about social media in terms of entrepreneurship, or is there something else?
I think the most important thing is knowing, the exact question you asked me is knowing your ideal client. And when I work with my clients, we don't even talk social media for the first hour or two. What we talk about is, who are you trying to connect with? And I don't want to just know, is it a female and she's 25 to 35 and maybe she lives in a certain geographic area. I want to know, what kind of car does she drive? What kind of work does she do? What are her political and social views? Where does she go for vacation? Is she concerned about organic food, or will she eat anything? It doesn't matter to her. All these little pieces of who this person is, this ideal client is, helps me know where she's going to be online. So if I find, if one of my clients has an ideal client that's a woman, 25 to 35, with a child, drives an SUV, loves to cook, and likes organic food. I know probably two places that we should be looking at for her social media presence would be Pinterest and Facebook. I wouldn't think about Twitter for her, and I wouldn't necessarily think about LinkedIn for her. So it's really important to identify that ideal client and then deliver content on the platform where they are, the content that's going to enrich their life or their business or whatever it is that you are targeting.
So you wouldn't suggest using all the platforms, but more to tailor it to each person's specific business?
Absolutely. I think people today are overwhelmed by the volume of platforms and social media. And when I do a lot of speaking about social media, and the first thing I say when people come and it's a social media presentation is I will say, you've probably entered this room on total overwhelm around social media. My goal is that you leave underwhelmed, because I don't think we can function well when we are so overwhelmed with information. We don't know, when people are given too many choices, they don't know what to do. And the reality is, nobody can manage being on every platform. Now, here's what I do suggest people do, is let's say you've identified that Facebook and Pinterest are the two places where your ideal clients are. I do recommend that you go to Twitter, you go to Snapchat, to LinkedIn, and you reserve the name of one of the, you set up an account and have it in the
brand.
Same name. Exactly, because we don't know if Facebook's going to fade out, and maybe Snapchat is the thing that we're going to want to be looking at, or Instagram, in 6 months or a year. So go reserve your name on all those platforms, but really create a strategy around one or two platforms and do it well. I'd rather see people go an inch wide and a mile deep than a mile wide and an inch deep and not do anything well. And that's where the overwhelm comes in. People say to me, I don't understand Twitter, and yet I'm supposed to be on there, and I'm supposed to be on Instagram. And that's why people get overwhelmed, and they can't do any social media well. So, yeah,
right.
One or two platforms.
You can't do everything well. You need to focus in
as well
on,
as running your business, right?
Yes, it's something that I think people are not necessarily aware of. You say entrepreneur, and they think either that you're just sitting there doing nothing at all, or just playing around on the internet, you're really not. There is so much to do, and marketing yourself is an incredible feat. It really is.
Yeah, and it absolutely is, and we can all kind of, and I've done it too, get sucked into the cute cat videos on Facebook, and by the time you look up, it's been 2 hours, so I kind of have a strategy of, I set a timer every time I go onto social media. So that
that's an absolutely excellent tip. Yes, to set a timer for it, because time really can run away from you. If you had to pick just one social media platform that you think everyone should be on, what would it be?
I would still say Facebook. It is where the majority, it's the largest social media network in the English speaking world. It's where the majority of people start their social media day. And they log into Facebook more than any other platform. And the majority of people that you want to connect with, unless you're trying to connect with like C-suite executives, that would be LinkedIn. But the majority of businesses, the majority of people are going to have some kind of presence on Facebook. So I would say that for most people is probably the best bet.
Okay. So Facebook and whatever other platform is most appropriate for them. Okay,
right.
I want to talk with you about something that is coming up, something that you planned that I've been looking at, which looks sort of exciting, and I want you to tell people a little bit more about that when we come back in a moment, okay?
All right, sounds good.
welcome back to Live with Barrett. Today we are talking with a special guest, social media maven Wendy McClellan. She's a certified guerrilla marketing coach, past nominee for Canadian Entrepreneur of the Year. This is a woman who built her business after a divorce left her with three kids under the age of 10 to raise. She has become a successful entrepreneur, travels throughout North America, sharing the potential of the internet with other entrepreneurs, particularly focusing on women. Now, Wendy, you are working or have worked on put together something that is coming up, I guess, in June?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a 3-day retreat for women. I know that most women put themselves at the bottom of the list of priorities, and a lot of us, you know, we have daily obligations which are important and we should focus on, whether it's a partner, a husband, or children, and our work or our careers, and we never really have time to sort of stop and breathe. So I live in Vancouver, British Columbia, and there's a 20-minute ferry ride to a beautiful island called Bowen Island, and I have found a lovely retreat center called Xenia, and it's on 40 acres and lovely cabins, and we're going to spend Friday night and Saturday and Sunday there, and we are going to kind of, first of all, de-stress, get away from the technology, put the phones down, be in this beautiful environment, and I have a private chef coming, and we'll be having beautiful vegetarian meals and doing some yoga. But more importantly, we're going to kind of unearth those hidden passions that women have that have been buried over the years with their obligations. Or maybe they know what their passion is, but they just haven't had time to just put some concentrated effort into creating a plan that will make it reality. And
because
so by the end
of the day. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, exactly. And you just never have that that focused time to work on it. So it's a small retreat, 20 women only, and we are going to, by the end of the weekend, women will have a blueprint, basically, to, you know, create this new passion-filled life that they want going forward, while still making sure that, you know, all their other obligations are met. So, I've been wanting to do something like this for a while, and I've created the weekend sort of in the way that I would want to have a retreat. So you'll have free time to wander the beautiful 40 acres, and there's lots of animals and wildlife and horses and dogs, and our meals are going to be lovely. So it's an opportunity for women to kind of pamper themselves.
Okay. And where can they find information about this?
They can go to frominspirationtoaction.com.
Because that's on the front page of this broadcast, so that people go to download the podcast, they'll also see it there.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. I called it that because oftentimes, you know, we go to an event like, and it's rah-rah, and we get all excited. We go to these 3 or 1 day events, and you know, we are just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm pumped. And you come home, and 2 days later, you put the notes aside that you worked on, and you slip back into the patterns of your everyday life. And I wanted this to be different. I wanted you to feel inspired, but I also wanted to give you an action plan so that you could move in the direction that you wanted to go.
Will there be any follow-up afterwards?
There will be, actually. I'm going to be doing a call, like a teleclass, every 2 weeks afterwards for the next few months, and then there'll also be a private Facebook group as well.
Okay, that sounds really wonderful. I'm almost tempted to go.
Well, if you're in, it's in Canadian dollars, so any of my American friends, you're going to get a real deal, because right now your dollar is worth $1.25 in Canada.
Okay, all right, remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, the dollar is quite strong right now. Well, I think this has been really, really inspiring, very informative. You are doing a lot. If you had to say, if you had to give one thing, what do you think that entrepreneurial women need to know or do the most? What one thing?
That's a really good question. And you know what? I'm going to answer it for myself, too, because I fall off the wagon on this as well. And that is, stay focused on your big goals. We get drawn into the mundane, the everyday, the things that we could hire someone else to do. So do what you do best and hire someone to do the rest. And I know women say, I'm barely making enough money, I can't hire someone. Can you barter with someone? Can you offer to, say, if you're a web developer, build a website for someone who wants to be a VA and have them do your admin work and do your filing and maybe, you know, do your bank deposits, or hire someone to do the mundane stuff that's not business building while you build the business.
Okay. Delegate, delegate, delegate.
Yeah, and stay focused on the big picture and really know what your goals are and what direction you want to go.
Right. Okay, yeah. I definitely can understand that one, because there's only so much that you can manage to do within a particular day. Well, I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and what you are doing is something very much needed, because social media is key in entrepreneurship. Of course, you know, large corporations have found they've got to be on social media. Just being General Electric or Kmart or whatever, it no longer counts. You have to actually be where people are, and that's really, really important for people.
Yeah, and
so thank you for coming on today and talking with me about this. And to everyone who's listening, be sure to check out from inspirationtoaction.com.
Yes, and they can also find me at 27 Steps to Freedom as well. There's lots of free information there to help you build your business too.
Okay. All right.
Thank
you. Thank you for coming on and talking with me. I really, really love this. A great way to spend a portion of this Saturday. So I hope that everyone will tune in tomorrow. We'll be talking with Tegan Fee, who is in another part of the world and doing some incredible things. She is a holistic entrepreneur. This has been Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and I look forward to talking with you again about the ways in which women are doing some powerful things out there through entrepreneurship. Have a wonderful weekend.